we think about the different phases in life that our kids experience, and we process through them, and, you know, whatever phase in your child's development that you're in right now, can I give you just, especially if your kids are younger than mine, just a word of counsel. Enjoy every moment of it. Because you know what? Before it's too long, it's gone. And what we do as parents is that we tend to so stress out about the moment and the things that are happening in the moment and the crisis and the overwhelming sense that we've screwed up or that we've done something wrong that we often miss that moment. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. And my challenge to you was this: don't, as long as you don't quit, there's always hope. This morning I want to talk about what type of an adult you want your child to become. Because here's what we do sometimes. We can so zone in, zero in, focus like a laser-like focus on the very moment that our kids are currently in that we miss the real big picture of why we're being parents. Because see, here's the thing. Let me just give you a little glimpse behind the curtain, especially those of you that have younger kids. The whole goal of parenting is to be a good enough parent that they leave home. Okay, that's right there. That is just, you can tweet that if you want to. Okay, let's just throw it out there. But see, here's the thing. Your job as a parent is to prepare them to be a man or to be a woman. So let's just for a second forget about the moment, the current phase of parenting that you're in. And I want you to forget about the now. And I want you to focus for just a minute on this question. What type of a man, what type of a woman do you want your child to become? What do you want them to look like? What character traits do you want them to have? What person, what type of person do you want them to marry? Do you realize you've got a lot of control over that by how you parent when they are young? What type of relationship do you want them to have with God? Think about that for just a moment. Process, begin to paint a picture in your mind as to how you want your children to look like when they are a man or they are a woman. Get that image etched into your brain, because here is what is so important. As a parent, if you can learn to start at the end, this is the type of man, this is the type of woman I want my child to be. You as a parent can learn to do what's called reverse engineering. Now, if you are an engineer, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? That is, you take a finished product, whatever it is. I used to love to do this as a child. My parents called it destructive. I called it reverse engineering, where I would take items, and I would slowly take them apart. You know, you first take out the screws, then you take off the top, you take all the different parts out, and you set them out all over the place to determine how that piece of whatever it is was made. And then, if you really know what you're doing, you can take the pieces and put it all back together again, and hopefully you don't have any pieces left over, and it continues to work. But the idea is that you understand, you figure out, you determine how it was made. And so if you can start at the end when it comes to parenting and say, this is the type of man I want my son to be. This is the type of woman I want my daughter to be. So now what do I need to do in this moment to help them become that? That's reverse engineering with your parenting. Start at the end and work backwards. And here's what's an exciting thing. If you do this process of reverse engineering, you have just determined one of the two most important destination or points of parenting. You've got the end. Now you just need to start with where you are. Now, I don't know about you, but I am, my wife calls it directionally impaired. But I struggle when it comes to directions. Anyone else struggle when it comes to directions? Anyone else admit it? Okay, good, good. You know, I'm directionally impaired. So when the iPhone came out with the whole iMap, voice by voice, you know, turn by turn, I was like, this is awesome. I absolutely loved it. And so, but what's interesting is that when I open my phone and I go to iMap, it asks me where I want to go first. That's the first question. Where do you want to go? Now, what's crazy about it is that although we can understand that when it comes to directions, that somehow baffles us when it comes to parenting. We never stop and ask the question, what type of man, what type of woman do we want our child to be? And yet that is the first and almost, I would say, the most important question to have answered. Before you begin parenting even, what type of man, what type of woman do I want my child to be? And so you put your information in there, and it finds it. It goes, is this the place you want to go to? And you go, yes, and you click it. It goes, directions. And then it asks you the second question, doesn't it? Do you want to start from your current location, or do you want to start from somewhere else? Are you a complete idiot and you don't really know where you are? Then just hit here. That's what I hit. And so then it lays out. And then I love this because then it comes up and it gives you anywhere from 2 to 5 different routes to go on, right? Now, do you end up getting to the same location? Eventually. But you get there, right? It gives you all these different routes. See, here's the thing about parenting that is so cool. If you can start at the end, then you know what your destination is, and there are a various and myriad routes to be able to get there. And do you know if you can have a clear understanding, a clear picture, and a clear knowledge of what your destination is, you're never truly lost? Think about it. Because if you put the destination on your phone and you make a wrong turn, first of all, I think our phones should, after like 2 wrong turns, it should go, hey, dummy, listen to me. Before, because my phone should do that. But as you're following these directions, if you get off course, what does your phone automatically do? Reroute or recalculate, depending upon if you're Apple or if you're Android. And it just reroutes you. And it goes, okay, here's a new route you can take. And see, parents, I want to just say this to you. This is so important. Because we think if we screw up in the moment that we've screwed up the route. The reality is if you're always moving towards the destination, the end, you're never lost. However, if you forget what your destination is, you're not even on a journey. You're wandering. You don't even know. When you get to the location, you don't even know if you've gotten there because you don't know what the end result is supposed to look like. And so moms and dads, if you forget everything else, don't forget that it is so important to realize what it is you are trying to get your children to become. It will take stress off of you. It will help you look at the things that you're doing today in the picture and the understanding of that. Now, there's a passage in the Bible, it's Proverbs chapter 26, that has been used, misused, misunderstood an awful lot. And so when I get to a passage of Scripture that I either can't really wrap my brain around or I'm really trying to get a full context or understanding of it, I usually will pull out all my different Bibles, either that or I'll get online and I'll get on, you know, I'll punch in that verse and it'll come up in all like 72 different English translations that are out there and all these different things because I really want to get a full understanding of what that verse is trying to communicate and the truth that God has given. Because it was written either in Hebrew, Greek, or Aramaic, and so it's translated into English. And so sometimes some of the nuances of the verse can be lost. And so, I always try to do that. I go, hey, what does that verse really mean? So Proverbs 22, verse 6 is a passage of Scripture that really, if you ever have been in a parenting series ever at any point in time in any church, you probably heard this verse. And if you're a parent of adult children, this is kind of one of those verses that can really stress you out a little bit. Because it says this, Proverbs 22, verse 6, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. This verse is often used almost as a promise to moms and dads. If you don't screw them up too bad, eventually they'll figure their way back. It's really not what this verse is saying. This verse is really talking about a simple truth. And that truth is this: whatever path you put your kids on, they will eventually continue to walk that path, good or bad. And again, I want to go through a couple of other passages here because the New International Version says, start children off on the way that they should go. And even when they are old, they will not turn from it. The New Living Translation puts it this way: direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. So that adds a little bit different nuance. Instead of just start them off, it says, listen, direct them. You need to be fully engaged in putting them on the correct path. You cannot sit back and hope that they discover the right path somewhere along the way. I've been amazed at how many times, and we have people that we know that we know them well, we know their kids, and they said things like this: I want my kid to discover God on their own. Okay. You know what? Your job as a parent is to help them. Your job as a parent is to direct them onto the right path. And if you're not directing them onto the right path, guess what? Someone else is. And it may not be the right path. Direct them onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. And then the New American Standard Bible says this: train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he was old, he will not depart from it. Do you see that? Start, direct, and train. These are very active verbs. These are things that are telling you, you need to be actively engaged and involved to be able to help your child get on the right path, so that as they burn that hole, that transient type thing on that path where they know this is the direction that I'm going, they get in that positive rut in the right path, that even when they're old and even if they get off path at different times, eventually this is going to be their default, because this is the path that you ingrained in them as they were children. So here's the big idea. The idea is this: whatever path you want your kids to be on when they're old, whatever path you want your kids to be on when they're old is the path you need to start them on today. Whatever path you want your kids to be on when they're old, in other words, what do you want your kids to look like? What type of character traits? What type of people do you want them to hang around? What type of friends do you want them to have? What type of life do you want them to experience? What type of relationship with God do you want them to have? Ask those questions and then say, okay, that means that today I have to do this. Today I have to come along my child and help them understand who God is. Today I have to teach my child about what it means to be a good friend and how to find good friends and how to cut people out of your life who are not good friends. It means I have to be active, engaged in the people that like my son or daughter and want to go on a date with them. And I meet them at the door and smile and say, no way. Because, by the way, you always tend to date the person you end up marrying. You ever thought about that? Just think about that for a second. So therefore, if you never date a loser, there you go, dads, that's for free. Okay. But here's the thing. These direct, start, train, they all come back to one thing, and I'm going to tell you, just don't check out when I say this, but it's the biblical term discipline. Now, we hear discipline, and what do we think? Punishment, spanking, yeah, timeouts. No. Biblical discipline has a very different connotation than the word discipline that we use today. If you read your Bible and it talks about discipline, 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 discipline. Now, there is an aspect of discipline that is punishment. But discipline is a far bigger word than that. And so let me give you a definition of biblical discipline. It means this: training that corrects. See, that's where that correction stands comes in. It talks about, listen, they're walking off the path, and as a parent, it doesn't matter how old they are, they're walking off the path. You come up and you go, no, we need to correct this. You need to get back on the right path. You need to start doing the things that you're supposed to be doing. It's training that corrects. It's also training that molds. When your children are especially younger, they're very moldable. They're very susceptible to your teachings and your understanding. And so as they get older, it's more difficult, isn't it? Let's just be honest. As they get older, their brains become more set in their ways. You ever tried to learn something new after 40? Those of you that are over 40, you know what I'm talking about, right? It gets more difficult. Some of you are like, oh, 40, you think that's something? Just wait. Okay, so I'm just saying, just throwing it out there. Or perfects. It's training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental faculties or moral character of a person. See, the question is not, are you molding your child? You are, whether you realize it or not. By how you live your life, you are molding and shaping your child. So the question is, are you molding and shaping your child to help them become the man or the woman that you want them to be by being the man or the woman that you want them to be? And see, by your very life, you can add to their discipline and their training and their understanding, and you can help them become, through discipline, who God has called them to be. And I know some of you right now are probably thinking, hold on a second, time out, I'm an adult, my parents screwed me up. Don't raise your hand or point. But I know that's hard. I'm just going to be very honest with you, okay? It's difficult. If you had parents that were either bad or were absentee or whatever the case, I mean, I know some of you had some very abusive parents. The beauty of this understanding is that discipline does not have to come from outside of you. If you had parents that screwed you up and you struggle every single day focusing and becoming who you're supposed to be the man or the woman that you're supposed to be, you can come back to the Word of God, and there's something called self-discipline. And you can take these three things that we're going to talk about, and you can learn how to self-discipline so that you can become the man or the woman that God has called you to be, so that you can be the man or the woman for your children, who you want them to be. So there are three ways that you need to disciple your children. The first one is this: disciple to help them reach the end. Disciple to help them reach the end. As our kids are growing up, we use various types of techniques to help them accomplish the goals that we want them to accomplish. How many of you have ever taken your young children bowling? Anyone? Okay, good. You know, bumper bowling. You ever done bumper bowling? I love bumper bowling. It's fantastic, isn't it? I like score my best scores ever when I bowl with little kids. But bumper bowling, the whole point of bumper bowling is the bumpers go up so that your child's ball doesn't go into the... See, you know this. You, by bumper bowling, are guiding your child to the desired end result. You're so mean and oppressive as a parent to put those bumpers up so that your child reaches. But see, that's what we think. Oh, I don't want to restrict my child. I don't want to keep my child from... Listen, all you're doing is keeping your child moving in the correct direction. As your kids got a little bit older, you taught them how to ride a bike. You ever put training wheels on their bicycle? Now, you'd put training wheels on their bicycle so that they didn't what? Crash, right? You don't want them to crash and have scars and all this stuff. And some of you, like, you're like really the very worried parents. Not only do you have training wheels on, but they've got the helmet and the elbow pads and the knee pads and the chest protector. And they can't pedal the bike, but they're not going to fall over, because they're safe. But think about this. I mean, it's just, we do this for their physical well-being, but yet, how much do we disciple them for their spiritual and their character well-being? Even as they get a little bit older and they want to start learning how to swim, I don't think there's anything more panicked to a parent than trying to teach your child how to swim when they can't swim and to let them go. Because training wheels, okay, they're going to fall over, maybe get scratched. You let them go in the pool, they will die. I mean, that's just, they drown. So you do all sorts of different things, right? All sorts of different techniques. But the one that I always chuckle at is the water wings, right? It's like these huge water wings around them, and they're trying to swim, and they're kind of like this, but they're safe. Because as a parent, you want them to experience the water, but not fully experience the water. And so you want to keep them safe, and you're disciplining them or you're discipling them to help them reach an end, because you want them to be able to get the ball down to the end of the alley. You want them to be able to learn their bike without crashing. You want them to be able to learn how to swim without dying. But yet in some way, shape, or form, when it moves to their character or their faith or their personality or all these things, we feel like we're being oppressive if we disciple them to help them get to the end. Look what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 11 through 13. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. I have never heard, well, I shouldn't say that. I've heard some crazy people who probably are on steroids. But in the gym, lifting weights, excited about it. Or running. Now, some of you are weird that way. You like to run. But, you know, nobody's like, yeah, my muscles burn. This is awesome. And if you do that, it is just to pretend like you're macho. We all know it's true. It's painful. It's the same thing with parenting. Sometimes parenting, and when you disciple your children the way that they're supposed to be discipled, it's painful, isn't it? It hurts. You're like, I don't want to have to do this, but you're going to die otherwise. So I will do this. We have to remember that the spiritual, moral, character fiber of our children is just as, if not more important than their physical survival. He continues. He says, but afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. And moms and dads, if you need a verse or you want a new tattoo somewhere, this next sentence is for you. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. You ever been exhausted as a parent? Like every day? It's tiring. It's hard. And here is that little voice in the back of your head saying, it's okay. Just give in a little bit today. Now, those of you who have ever listened to that voice, you know that that voice leads straight to hell. That's just, you go, I'm going to give it a little bit today, and guess what happens? Tomorrow it's that much harder. It's exhausting to be a great parent. Sometimes it's painful because of other parents. I remember when our girls were younger and we wouldn't let them do certain things, we wouldn't let them watch certain TV shows, we wouldn't let them listen to certain types of music, and it wasn't that we were against these things or we were, you know, some type of Amish or something like that. I mean, we just said, listen, their brains are not ready to be able to discern in these things what's good and what's bad, what's negative and positive behavior. There was this TV show. Some of you, if you let your kids watch this, don't tell me afterwards, because I'll go up one. You know, anyways, it was called Caillou. Have you ever heard of that? Oh my gosh. We would never let our girls watch that show for two reasons. He's a whiny baby brat who always gets his way because he's a whiny baby brat. And it teaches the kids, oh, be a whiny baby brat. You get what you want. I mean, at one episode, he wanted to kill his younger child because, I mean, I'm like, this is nuts. What wacko made the show? But anyways, so we, I mean, just things like that. That we're like, no, we don't want to let our kids watch this stuff. We don't want this in their brain. We don't want this in their head. This is not what we want. And we had other parents, specifically Tracy, because no one had the guts to say anything to me for some reason. But specifically Tracy... Oh, you don't let your kids watch that? Why, do you think they're better than our kids? Do you think they're, what's wrong with that? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, we don't want our girls to turn out to be sluts. Can you say amen to that? I mean, that's a good thing. You know, I just, you know. I mean, I'm just being flat and honest with you. Because we know the type of girls that we want type of women that we want our daughters to be. And these things don't feed into that. So that's not going to happen. And it's painful sometimes. It's difficult sometimes. But here's how he ends. Mark out a straight path for your feet So that those, and you can kind of put this term, those who are around you and weak and lame will not fall, but become strong. You see, if you as a parent are willing to not give in, not back down, and disciple to help your kids reach the end, it helps them become strong like you. If, however, you are constantly backing down, you are constantly giving up, what is that teaching them to be as they grow up? Is it hard? Yeah. Is it exhausting? Yes. They should make a parent energy drink just for parents. I'm not sure what should be in it, but it should be just for parents. You have to prove that you have children to purchase it. They should give IDs just like they do for alcohol, and you have to have a parent, get parent ID to be able to do that. Okay, so discipline to help them reach the end. Second, discipline to help them have a positive end. Reaching the end is worthwhile, but is the end a positive one? Disciple your child or discipline your child to help them have a positive end. The Bible puts it this way, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17, discipline your children, and they will give you peace. You want peace in your house? Discipline your children. And remember, discipline is a much bigger word. You're training, you're molding, you're correcting. You're an active parent moving them on the path that God has called them to be on, the path that you are on, because they're following you on whatever path you're on. They're watching you and they're walking behind you. Are you clearing the path for them so that they can have a positive end? And I want you to see how it finishes. And they will bring you the delights that you desire. Now, you go, hang on a second. This is, do kids have a positive end? But this sounds more like that's a positive end for us as parents. It's both. It's both. Because if as a parent, you discipline your child to be on the right path, and they continue on that right path, not only will the end be a positive one for them, but you will reap the positive rewards from your children being on the positive and right path. So discipline them to be on the right path so that it's a positive end. You say, what does that look like? You know what? I think we can look at the Word of God and we can have a clear understanding from a generic big picture perspective on the type of man and the type of woman that you want your children to be. But then it varies off of that. Remember, we talked about all sorts of different routes, right? There are going to be all sorts of ways that you get to that. Their personality, their experiences, your background, your experiences, all these things come into it. But you keep that end in mind and say, what is the positive end result that I want to see my child experience? And the third way that you need to discipline them is you need to discipline to keep them from a disastrous end. See, there's a positive and there's a negative side. We talked about this to Proverbs chapter 22. One of the things that I like to do when I read Scripture is when it gives a positive, I also like to think of what the negative is. The positive here is if you train your child to walk on the right path, as they are older, they will come back to it or be on it. If, however, when your child is younger, you train them on a different path, and that means when they're older, they'll come back to that. Or if they know that it's the wrong path, they will have to fight that much harder to stay off that path. The Bible puts it this way, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18, discipline your children, for in that there is hope. As long as you keep training, as long as you keep molding, as long as you keep working to perfect their mental and moral faculties, there's hope in that. Then it ends this way. Do not be a willing party to their death. You could substitute the word demise. But the idea, I think, is very clear, is it not? If you are unwilling to discipline your children and do what God has called you to do, to train, to correct, to mold, if you're unwilling to do those things, you are literally becoming an active participant in the end result that you yourself say you don't want your kids to experience. You are literally guiding them, but not down the right path, down the path of destruction. Because if you back off and you go, well, you know, they'll figure it out on their own, you know, or you say, listen, I'm not going to be that type of parent. Your refusal or your neglect means that your child will struggle and constantly feel hopeless. Think about that. For in that there is hope, it says, right? Discipline your child. For in that there is hope. Do not be a willing participant to their death or demise. You see, there's a lot of things in this world that we can live without. A lot of things. We live without water for several days. Live without heat. Live without electricity. Live without a house. But when hope is gone, when there is no hope, you are empty. Some of you may experience that right now. You may go, you know what? That's exactly how I feel. Through the parenting, the things that I grew up with, man, I literally feel hopeless. Here is the encouraging part. Through Jesus Christ, hope can be redeemed in anyone's life. So if you're an adult child and you struggle with that, I want to tell you there is hope found through Christ, through the teaching of his word. If you are a parent and you have children, let me tell you, please discipline them in the way that God says so that you fill your child with hope. Because if they have hope, they can do just about anything. Whatever path you want your child to be on when they are older is the path you need to start them on today. And whatever path you are on is the path that they will follow you on. So, the question is, what changes do you need to make? How do you need to change your parenting? What path are you on? And is it the path that you want your kids on? If not, today is the time to make the change. Father, we thank you so much. Parenting can be so overwhelming. Parenting can feel almost hopeless at times. Sometimes we even wonder if you gave us the right kids. Because we're like, I just don't know how to parent this child the way that he or she needs to be parented. And we just, God, we just struggle. I pray for every parent here today, God, that you would remind them of that passage in Hebrews that says, take a new grip. Do not give in. Get new strength found through Jesus Christ. Help us to get that picture, that image, that vision in our mind of who you want our son and our daughter to become as a man and as a woman. Help that shape and craft how we parent them today as we set them on the right path, as we burn a trail for them to follow, even if we are gone. Because God, that truth is there. That truth is in your word for a reason. It gives us hope. It gives us healing. It gives us energy to continue to be consistent in discipline, in training, in correction, in molding our children because they are a gift from you that we only have for a temporary time. God, do not let us shirk that responsibility. Give us strength in our knees, in our mind, in our hope, in our hands, to be the type of mom, the type of dad, that the kids that you've given us need for today, so that they can become the men and the women of tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.